its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. Good evening. Welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners. However you've decided to spend this hour with us, we're very, very glad to have you. What do most of us want in life? We want love. We want romance. Some of us want marriage. Some of us want babies with the baby carriage. But the question is, when we achieve all those things, and sometimes it comes up where we achieve it, then it comes down again where we split, we separate, and we find new love, new romance. How do we protect it, and how do we take care of ourselves as well? Joining me tonight, I have Desiree Dupuy from 360 Financial Group on with me, and we're going to be chatting about that, how to take care of those things so you can save your world, you can protect it, and that is absolutely important. Welcome to the show, Desiree.
Hi, Caroline. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome.
Chatting with you.
Well, I'm very excited to have you on as well. It's one of those things, as I was telling you, it's one of those things where we don't think about insurance right away sometimes when we get in a relationship, and there's always the jokes that you hear about, you know, somebody getting insurance policy and then killing off their significant other. So, you know, there's that part. But in reality, it's something that's really, really important to make sure that we're able to protect the lives that we create with our partners.
Well, exactly. That's the thing. I mean, once you enter into any type of partnership with somebody where, you know, you're planning a life together, you're starting to depend on each other for support, and especially when it comes to financial support, building a life together, you know, life all isn't full of roses. And when, you know, if a tragedy does occur, which, you know, sometimes it does, people pass away or there's accidents or there's a lot of serious illness happening. Without proper insurance coverage, your financial well-being together and even individually can be greatly at risk if you don't have the proper financial plan and, of course, the proper insurance coverage to protect yourself and your family and your loved ones.
So that would be, so say somebody, they've moved in together, they've gotten married, and they want to look at insurance. What are some of the things that they should be thinking about in regards to things that, in regards to their lifestyle that might be important?
Well, when it comes to insurance, there's probably two main areas that you want to cover for yourself in terms of, you know, your financial well-being. And one of them, obviously, is life insurance, because when somebody passes away, especially a partner, if the two of you own a place together, you pay rent together, whatever it is, you know, you're depending on that other person for their income to help support your lifestyle. And if something happened to them where they weren't here tomorrow, how would you cope with that? Aside from life insurance, which most people do understand, there's also something that's a bit new to Canadians, which is something, an insurance protection called critical illness insurance, which actually pays you when you survive a critical illness like cancer or have a heart attack or one of the other 22 illnesses. And critical illness is really important because, you know, it's not as easy as a lot of healthy people might think when you are diagnosed with something like cancer and you're not able to work for 6 months or a year, and how do you continue to pay your bills, and you need to rely on your loved one for support to cook for you and maybe take you to appointments and this kind of thing. And also, you know, the financial aspect of it is that you need money to get better and to recover, and where is that going to come from, and is it going to mean having to sell your house or refinance or remortgage? Those types of conversations you want to have planned out in advance so that you can be prepared for those types of situations.
And I think that's really important as well, because when you are sick, you're just trying to get better. You don't need the extra stress.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, stress is 99% related to all disease, and the last thing you need. And of course, financial money problems or financial issues is probably related to 99% of stress. So the combination of the two is not a good dynamic for a healthy recovery. So the last thing you want to be worrying about is, you know, how you're going to pay your bills or how you're going to be able to go back to work when you're trying to recover. And also your perspective is going to change. Once you face a life-threatening illness, you're probably going to reconsider what you're doing for a living, how you're living your life, and really realize how short life is. So people take that for granted as well. And when you have a lump sum of money injected into your bank account, all of a sudden it gives you freedom and flexibility of choice to decide how you want to, you know, start spending the rest of your life, and also choice to get better. If you do need to go and get treatment abroad, you know, either in the States or in Mexico or something, you have that flexibility to do that. So it takes a lot of stress and a lot of weight off of your recovery and also off of your partnership. You know, a lot of times when one partner gets sick, the other partner takes on the whole brunt of that stress. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we see a decay in their health afterwards or a real strain on the relationship as well after all is kind of said and done. So
I can definitely see that, because a lot of couples fight because of money and break up because of money, because different money styles in terms of money management. And I can only imagine, especially in this day and age where we've got very strong women, thanks to our women's rights, etc. But I think it's challenging sometimes, because I have girlfriends who have enough difficulty if a guy is paying on a date. So yeah. I can only imagine, how does that happen when you go, you know, a few years into a relationship and you get sick, say you're diagnosed with breast cancer, and then what? And all of a sudden having to rely on your partner for having to pay the bills. And so say hypothetically, knock on wood, nothing happens to me, but just say someone does get diagnosed with breast cancer and they do have critical illness insurance. What is, in terms of the types of policies there are there ways that, you mentioned a lump sum, so does that get put in a bank account immediately or?
Yeah, well, how critical illness insurance works is basically it's very flexible policy. You choose the level of insurance that you want, anywhere from $10,000 up to, you know, say $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, generally, a good guideline is, you know, one year's worth of income.
Okay.
And, yeah, essentially it covers, like I mentioned, 22 different illnesses. So, obviously, cancer is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned heart attack. It also covers Parkinson's disease, multiple sclerosis, which I've recently learned is actually women between 20 and 40 are at the highest risk for being diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And I actually have two girlfriends that do live with that disease. So, so illnesses like that. And it's called a living benefit. So, as I mentioned, it pays you when you survive. And the qualification is just obviously a diagnosis from your doctor that you have been diagnosed with the illness and a survival period of 30 days. So on the 31st day, you would have that lump sum of money, amount of money, whatever your insurance policy is worth, directly invested into your bank account, and it's yours to spend however you need or wish or choose to.
Which is really great, because one of the things you mentioned is going to Mexico, going to the States, so possibly exploring different types of treatment, so you maybe not having to rely specifically on what's available through our healthcare system, even though it's pretty good in Canada.
Yeah, and we do have a great healthcare system, which we should, you know, we are lucky to have. But it also covers, I mean, there I've been invited to so many fundraisers of the last year for, it seems everybody these days is being, if they are diagnosed with cancer, it seems to be a rare form of cancer. And, you know, one gentleman I knew who was diagnosed, he was raising $150,000 to go for treatment in Mexico. But aside from that, it's just the daily things. I mean, my girlfriend, who was 30 years old and was diagnosed with breast cancer, she just a year ago underwent a double mastectomy, and she was told that she wasn't allowed to work for a year. And, I mean, luckily she had a good group benefit plan through her work, so she had disability coverage, so she was covered. I mean, you still only are paid, you know, a certain percentage of your salary, but it helped her out. And the cost alone for the anti-nausea pills, the chemotherapy medicine, her prescription drug pills were, you know, close to $7,500. So, again, luckily she had an extended health plan that covered her. But, you know, a lot of people may not have a good benefit plan, and a lot of people are working for themselves, have companies. So, you know, you have to think, where is that money going to come from? And you touched on the empowerment factor. And, you know, yeah, a lot of women nowadays have taken control of so many things and are becoming more financially empowered. And I think it's a conversation that has to be had, you know, in any good relationship. It's openness and honesty, but you have to look out for yourself, because you just never know if somebody is going to be there tomorrow. And the only person that you can really rely on is yourself. And any strong financial plan is going to have an insurance component in it where you cover all the bases in case of a rainy day, and that's the whole point of insurance.
And what is a good way to ask your partner, have that conversation? Because I think a lot of us, most of us don't like to have our wills drawn up, because we don't like to think about death. We don't like to think about illness, especially in relation to ourselves. We're almost afraid to jinx it. So what is a good recommendation, do you think, in terms of having that conversation with somebody and just bracing it gently?
I think it's just being straightforward about it. I know one of our clients, a couple, they have a weekly kind of financial meeting every Sunday night where they look, okay, you know, where are we at this week? Where do we spend? What are our plans for next week? And, you know, maybe that's a bit too much. But, you know, revisiting something even monthly or quarterly or even every 6 months is always a good idea. And to approach the subject, I think it's just, you know, it's being responsible and saying to your partner, hey, you know, we're in a partnership together. I think that it's important. And, you know, I want to be responsible with my life, and I want us to create the best life that we can together. And, you know, talking about our financial plan is an important part of that. And I'd like for us to be on the same page. Or, you know, it is a touchy subject, especially in newer relationships. But I think, you know, if you're not able to bring up that kind of subject, maybe I'm
you
not
shouldn't
sure. Yeah,
be
maybe
together.
There's a problem there.
Yeah, no, that's true, because communication is the key to any relationship, regardless what type of communication it is. And
yeah,
perhaps
on that note, sorry to cut you off.
Oh,
but,
no, go for it.
we also have some clients who keep everything separately. So we've had insurance meetings where, you know, one partner would leave the room while we talked in depth about the other partner's situation. And I think the point of that is just whatever works for your relationship, as long as there's trust and there's openness, and as long as each of you, either separately or together, are strongly empowered with your own finances, then you're going to be much better off than, you know, any relationship or any individual who has not approached that conversation.
No, that makes a lot of sense. I think that makes a lot of sense. In terms of critical illness insurance and different types of other insurance, like, for example, disability insurance in case somebody becomes ill, I'm not as familiar with that other than from my understanding, and please jump in at any time if I've got this wrong, that disability insurance, just in case you do become disabled, that it can help you maintain your standard of life if you're insured correctly. So then that way, again, with the mortgage, with the standard of living, you can keep things as at par.
Yeah, well, and disability works. Basically, the definition of disability is it pays you if you're unable to perform the duties of your job. So if you're hurt and you can't go to work, then of course, you know, how are you going to make a living and how are you going to pay for your bills? So for, you know, those that have disability insurance in place, they don't have to worry because, you know, no matter what happens, if they are injured and they can't, or they do get sick and they can't work, then the disability coverage starts to kick in, and it's based on your income, it's based on your salary, and it typically pays you about two-thirds of what you'd be making regularly. So there is still an incentive for people, obviously, to go back to work and to recover, but it still pays you a nice amount so that while you're not working, you know, you can still survive and you're not going to lose everything. And
which is the last thing you want to be worried about, again.
Well, that's the thing. And the way you look at it, I mean, insurance is never a happy subject. You're always talking about what's going to happen when something goes wrong. But I think, you know, it's a responsible way to act. And the thing about when you look at insurance, it's, okay, well, hope for the best, plan for the worst and hopefully, you know, nothing happens. But for God's sakes, if something bad does happen, you're going to be damn sure and damn happy that you do have your insurance in place.
That's so true.
Mm-hmm. And the way we talk about disability is when you think about we think about it as a cash machine. So if you had, if I could give you a cash machine in your basement that every month would supply you with a certain amount of, you know, freshly printed dollar bills, without fail, you know, every month at the end of the month, you would have a stack of however many dollar bills you need or you'd want in your life or you earn. How much would you pay a month to ensure that that machine never broke down or never stopped spitting out those bills? So that's the way you have to kind of think about yourself and your livelihood and your ability to earn money, because it's not just what you earn today or tomorrow or this year or next year. It's what your ability to earn over a lifetime or over the next 2 to 5 years or however long you're going to survive an illness or an injury. So I think that's a good way to kind of think about it.
I think it's a great way to think about it, because a lot of people think nothing about spending money, about lotto, and daydream about where they'd spend all that money. And yet, when it actually comes down to it, thinking of it as a money machine, what would you do? What do you need? How do you cover your needs? And thinking of it as budgeting in that way, shape, or form, when you're trying to figure out how much insurance you need to cover that standard of living as costs do increase, I think that's brilliant. I really like that. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think that's what you touched on, too, is just, you know, how much do you need? And, you know, it's different for every situation. Some people might not really need a lot of insurance, but they might just need, you know, an extra buffer or, you know, something to help them get by should something terrible happen. On the other hand, there are people with huge mortgages, with young kids, and, you know, with one bread earner that do need a significant amount of insurance. But the point is that you really need to sit down, work with a professional who can, you know, assess your whole kind of life, your whole situation, and put in the numbers in their calculators and their projections and stuff to really figure out what amount is appropriate for each person's individual lifestyle.
That makes a lot of sense. In regards to life insurance, because I always, when I was a kid, I used to always envision like the basically the gold digger marrying the really old guy, kind of, and I probably shouldn't say this on air, so I won't, basically the guest model, and I think all of us know exactly which one we're talking about, who married the 80-year-old man, who I think she might have actually been in love with him, so I'd like to think, but where it was a huge, huge issue afterwards with his previous partner, previous children from previous marriage, were really upset because she inherited the bulk of that after he passed on. And I know one of the things we were chatting about in our pre-show chat was that's how often should people be going back and actually checking their insurance policies? Should it be a once-a-year thing that you do on your birthday to make sure that you're currently insured, and not only that, that you're also who you're leaving everything to is the right person, so it's not your ex-wife from three wives ago or those kinds of things?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a minimum review would be once a year.
Okay.
Anything above and beyond that is obviously great and generous. I would say, you know, every 6 months would be
ideal.
You know, the most that you would probably need to really do that, unless your life is changing, you know, that rapidly where you're moving into bigger places or getting remarried or divorced or having children. That's when you really want to look at your insurance coverage and your financial plan in general is when you have bigger life events. So something like getting married, having a child, getting divorced, buying a house, these bigger life events that affect your financial plan, per se, are really catalysts for when you should definitely, without a doubt, be reviewing your insurance protection and your whole plan in general. And yeah, of course, when there's separation or there's divorce, you want to make sure that you've updated your beneficiaries, because you know, if there's somebody new that you'd want to leave the money to or leave your estate to, then that's got to be updated. But not just that, then you have to look at your will and your, you know, your trustees and your power of attorneys and those types of people. So everything kind of needs to be revisited in big events such as a marriage or a divorce.
And one of the great things about BC is we actually can have gay marriage here, or I just like to think of it as marriage regardless of a sexual orientation. But One of the things that did come up recently was there was a case in the States in somewhere where it wasn't considered legal that when somebody passed on that they actually contested the insurance as well, which I thought was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know about the states, but I know for BC legislation, once an insurance policy is put in place and there's a beneficiary stated on the policy, it's very hard to contest.
Okay.
And which is why you always want to have your will updated as well, because if there is any, you know, discrepancy between the two, it does make it more challenging. But at the end of the day, it's not going to come down to a marital, you know, gay or straight issue. It's just going to come down to perhaps a discrepancy between designated beneficiaries. And, you know, I touched on it a couple times already. You know, when you have a partnership, it doesn't matter what that partnership is. It could be gay, straight. It could be mother-daughter. It could be, you know, any form, mother-child. I guess that's mother-daughter, like I just said. But, you know, any type of partnership where you have two people relying on each other, that's when you have to look at things like insurance and your finances.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it matters what your sexual orientation is whatsoever. So.
No, I don't think it does in regards to that. I guess what I'm alluding to is just if families get upset. And sometimes when it's actually in there, you've updated it, made sure it's your current partner. And then that way there's not as much issues.
Yes, of course. Yeah, you definitely want to make sure that things are revised and updated. And again, like I said, especially during bigger life events that are going to, you know, change things, you know, especially having one child and then, you know, so you already have one child and then now you've added a second one or a third. That's another occasion where you want to make sure you've updated your insurance, because a lot of people will designate their children as beneficiaries, especially secondary beneficiaries, in case, you know, a mother and father were, you know, passed away together in an accident or something like in a situation like that. So that's another occasion when you definitely want to make sure that your insurance policies are up to date.
No, that sounds good. We're actually getting some comments from Twitter, so I thought that was really interesting as well. That was interesting. Somebody has actually commented that they thought that that conversation should be had naked with the partner. So, I think that depends. So, because as long as you're not using sex to get what you want, I think that's a fair thing. But but naked emotionally, definitely as well. Just being really open and honest, regardless what realm of communication. I'm wondering if that particular person who tweeted that, if their love language, one of my favorite books by Gary Chapman, which people speak in different languages for love, I'd have to gauge would be physicality. Which could be really interesting, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's however you're most comfortable and however you can take the conversation most seriously.
Very true, because it is a serious thing, because I think love is a serious thing when it comes right down to it, and whatever we can do to protect it, and finances, life sometimes gets in the way, and communication, as you're mentioning, is one of the most important things. And by doing that, then you can actually put the grid, that blueprint, in the background. So then that way, if things do happen, that you can take care of it in the best way possible.
Absolutely. And I mean, I keep saying it, but it's very responsible to plan ahead, because the last thing you want to be doing is, you know, having stress or having conflict or drama happening in one's family or in a person's family when they're dealing with a tragedy. So, you know, and money is what people say can be the root of all evil. And you see the nastiest sides of people come out when, you know, there is maybe life insurance on the line or there isn't life insurance. And then who's going to pay? You know, who's going to pay for a funeral, which can be up to $30,000 just itself alone to pay for? And then, you know, who is going to pay for any outstanding debt if that's a need, or, you know, like conversations like that you just don't, that those things are going to be way stickier and way more difficult to deal with if there isn't a plan in place. So I think you're just kind of, by being responsible and planning beforehand, you're definitely making things easier to deal with should they happen. And not just kind of sticking your head in the sand, you know. I heard a funny comment the other day.
Mm.
I think it was during the presentation, someone said, you know, when you stick your head in the sand, you're sticking your ass up in the air, like, you know, the typical ostrich picture. So it kind of leaves you exposed, right? So ignorance is definitely not bliss.
No, definitely not in this situation, and not in a lot of situations. It's really important to just shake it up and really face it and see what you really need.
Yeah, I kind of equate it to doing your spring cleaning or cleaning out your closet or your garage. You know, it's never something fun to do, but you feel really great after it's accomplished.
It's kind of like going for a full physical, which I tell everybody they should be doing that for their birthday every single year.
Absolutely, definitely.
What are some other things that do come up? I know there was that stat that I saw on one of the Twitter feeds this morning for a TD where it's like 1 in 4 people don't understand what they're insured for bank insurance. And is that fact or fiction?
You know what? I don't know where that stat came from today, but I would assume, yeah, 25% of people that own bank insurance. You know, the bank is, you know, kudos to them. We have the strongest banking system in the world, in Canada here. But at the same time, the bank is kind of, they push everything on their clients, right? So, you know, you go in to open up a bank account and the next thing they're selling you insurance and a mortgage and a line of credit and all this other stuff. So a lot of people, what happens when they get a mortgage is, you know, after they sign, you know, hundreds of copies of paperwork, the last thing before they can leave the office is, okay, hey, by the way, you need to sign here for your insurance. And, you know, they're just continuing to sign along. And next thing you know, they're paying, you know, whatever it might be, $30, $75, $100 a month for this bank insurance, which is, you know, known as mortgage insurance, for something that they don't even really understand how it works or whether or not it's going to pay out. And there was an interesting clip, a video done by CBC that showed, you know, out of 100 ballroom dancers that all had mortgage insurance, only at the end of the day, 2 of those people actually had coverage that would pay out.
Really?
It was astonishing.
Wow.
I have the video on my website, actually, because most people don't realize it's not, when you get life insurance or critical illness insurance, and most people cringe because they always ask, oh, do I have to, you know, get a needle? Usually a nurse comes and they have to get blood work because the insurance company, you know, they're a profit company. They want to make sure that the people that they're insuring are healthy, and then they're not going to, you know, have to pay a claim in the next year or so. So going through that process is actually a good thing, because when you get your insurance approved privately through an insurance company, they can't take that away from you. You are insured until you decide that you want to cancel your policy. On the other hand, with most bank insurance, they only ask you maybe 5 or 6 questions to determine whether or not you're insurable, and they decide, okay, yeah, that's great, you've answered yes or no or whatever it is to the questions that we need, and that's the underwriting that they do. And so when it comes down to it and a claim needs to be paid, they will actually go back, you know, so something did happen and there's a claim to be made, they'll go back and find out, oh, was this person actually insurable? And in most cases, they'll find out, oh, they that person had high blood pressure, or that person had, you know, this medical history. And actually, you know what, it turns out they weren't insurable. Here's all the money you paid, so here's all your premiums back, but we're not going to pay out your insurance. So that's kind of why this report was done, because there was all these claims that actually weren't being paid because the bank wasn't going through full medical underwriting. So I think that stat is, you know, kind of scary, and I think it goes to show for a lot of things where people, you know, we're so busy and there's so much going on in all areas of our lives that it's hard to keep up with everything that you own or that you have. But, you know, for something like that, when you're paying money for insurance, you want to make sure that you're going to get paid if something does happen. So you want to take the time to make sure you're not sold something that's, you know, costing you money where you don't have the best coverage that you could have.
No, definitely. That's really important. Would people be able to come to you and actually sit down with you and say, hey, I really don't get my insurance and I want to make sure I'm insured enough, and show you the policies that they've got currently. I'm thinking in terms of my partner, because he always tells me, oh, I've got insurance through work. And it's important to actually take a look at that, as well as the bank insurance, bringing it all in and sitting down with someone who's a professional like yourself.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty much what we do all the time with clients.
Okay.
Full review, figuring out what they have in place, what they need. Sometimes we'll say, hey, you've got great coverage. There's no changes that need to be made. And that's a great reassurance for somebody as well, because now, you know, they have the confidence to know that they are well protected. And you brought up a really good point about, you know, a lot of people in general think, oh, well, I have insurance through work or have group benefits, so I'm fine. But that's a big gray area, and it's a big risk from a lot of people, because nowadays, especially, a person isn't employed with the same company for very many years anymore at a time. I think the stat for our generation is, you know, the average employment time is less than 5 years. So to that fact, it just means that, you know, people are getting laid off, they're changing their careers all the time, and just because you have a great benefit package with one company doesn't mean that it's going to be there even tomorrow or in 6 months or a year from now. So the one thing that you can control is owning your own insurance personally, because you're the only one that can make decisions to change or to cancel or to upgrade your protection. When you just rely on, you know, coverage through work, then you're leaving yourself exposed, because your company can, you know, always change that, cancel that. You could leave your company and the next one doesn't have such a great package, or, you know, different things like that. So you don't want to leave yourself exposed at any for any risk in terms of, you know, changes within the company that you are working for.
Because those are ones, as you said, they're ones that you don't own, those types of changes. They're ones that the company can choose for you.
Yeah, and I mean, for people that are kind of, you know, like lifers at work, it's even scarier, because, you know, my dad got laid off. I think he was working for his company for close to 20 years. And, you know, that means he's 20 years older. So that means now if you've had life insurance this whole time and all of a sudden you don't have it anymore and you're relying on your coverage through work, now you're 20 years older, which means, first of all, obviously it's going to be a lot more expensive for you to get it if you do want to get it. And second of all, you might not even be able to get it because of all of the different health experience you might have had. You know, you may have had cancer. You may have been diagnosed with a serious illness, and it's going to be a lot harder for you to get insurance when you're older.
Wow. How does that work if somebody gets paid out from critical illness insurance and they want to reapply again because they're healthy, say cancer's in remission?
Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, I'm an independent broker, so I work with, you know, all of the different insurance companies.
Mm.
Different insurance companies have different policies. It will be difficult to get critical illness insurance if you've already been diagnosed. But usually what typically would happen is whatever they've been diagnosed with in the past would be excluded from the coverage.
Okay.
Well, if it was cancer, they had cancer, they're in remission, they wanted to apply for critical illness insurance, obviously they would have to disclose all that information.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they didn't, the insurance company would find out.
Yes.
You know, they know everything. And there could be a possibility of getting coverage. It would just, their policy would definitely exclude cancer, but they could still probably get coverage for, you know, diagnosis of Parkinson's or MS, like I mentioned before, or it also covers, you know, blindness, deafness, if you're in a coma, stuff like that. So it's always worthwhile to check into. And there's also policies now where you can add an option where, you know, if you have critical illness insurance and you are diagnosed, you obviously get paid out. But there's an option where you can add a second diagnosis. So your policy would stay in force. And if you were diagnosed again, you would get paid out again. So that's an option that more and more people are taking, because the stats are quite high for somebody that's been diagnosed with a serious illness to be diagnosed with a second illness.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So there's lots of different options, and I think the best thing to do is obviously talk to a broker, a professional about it, about your situation, what are your risks, How are you, how would you deal with the different situations and what's the best option? And it can be cheap. A big misconception is that, insurance is really expensive and I can't afford it.
I was just going to ask that.
with life insurance is really, really cheap, especially if you're young and healthy. It's better to get it the younger you are, the easier and better it is to get. Same with critical illness. Obviously, the younger and healthier you are, the easier and better it is to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And policies can start out at less than $10 a month. So you really can get a decent amount of coverage for, dollars a month, which is, for people, everybody, there's no excuse why people shouldn't have protection and why they should be exposing themselves to this kind of risk. It's just so high. I hate, talking about the statistics and, kind of putting fear out there, but it's just so scary. It's, close to 2 out of 3 men and even close to 2 out of 3 women before the age 65 will be diagnosed with a serious illness in their lifetime. So, that's staggering. It's almost not even insurance anymore when your risk is that high.
Mm-hmm. No, it's something that's really, really important. We're going to take a really quick short break. And when we come back, we're going to ask a few more questions. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back. And hopefully this is going to play. Please play. Commercials.
Hello, Micro. We're at 8,000 feet, perishing cold, and I'm bored stiff. What about putting on a hot gramophone record to cheer me up?
Hello? Hello? Is this Harlem 77711?
Hello, fellas. This is Duke Ellington.
Get it. Pause. Let's get sweet and hot.
In the opinion of hot music critics, Count Basie has one of the best dance orchestras in the country.
King of the clarinet, Artie Shaw, and his orchestra making dance history in the Blue Room of the Hotel Lincoln in New York City.
Every Thursday from 10 till noon, join me, your host, Charles Burnham, for Sweet and Hot, a celebration of the 78 RPM record, a 3-minute masterpiece in the golden age of North American songwriting. Hot jazz, swing, and popular music from the 1920s, 30s, and 40s. That's every Thursday from 10 till noon here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Enjoy that blue bottle?
That's a swell record. I must get it. What's his number?
This is my life. I wake up in the morning, I eat, I sleep, I shit.
Breakfast with the Browns.
So whatever it is, but I never shut it off for 5 minutes.
I can't wait to impress my friends with my astounding knowledge of cool.
Join your favorite Brownsters and tune in and listen to the best selection of down-tempo electro-pop lounge core.
Strictly Squaresville.
Remember, subtle, basic, Brown.
Breakfast with the Browns
on CITR 101.9 FM every Monday morning
from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.
The older I get, the more life starts to make sense and the less I care.
Now we're riding the rainbow, the clouds lift, and we're making it like young. Now we're riding the rainbow to Cloudsville, and we're making it like you. Now we're riding the rainbow to Cloudsville.
You know, you can give 100 examples of what it isn't, but you're going to have a hell of a time saying what it is.
We'll be right back.
Sexual Assault Support Center offers support services to survivors of sexual assault and other forms of violence, as well as their friends, family members, and partners. They are committed to education and the support of students, staff, faculty, and visitors of all genders. They offer counseling, accompaniments, information, and referrals. They also facilitate specialized workshops and training sessions, develop public education campaigns, and hold special events related to anti-violence work. All services are free and confidential. For more information on programs and services or on volunteer opportunities, visit their website, www.ams.ubc.ca/SASC.
Most shocking monster.
That techno rock you guys listen to is gutless.
I'm sure.
And the only reason you don't understand our music is that you don't like it.
After I'm gone, your Earth will be free to live out its miserable span of existence.
Can anyone stop their mechanical mayhem?
All of my most sensitive areas were inflamed. My extremities pulsating with tingling sensation.
Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology.
Swaying back and forth. A beautiful thing taking me away.
You are a robot.
City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
And we are back listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us right now, I've been talking to the lovely Desiree Dupuis from 360 Financial Group. And we've been talking about why it's really important to get insured. And I had no idea that you could get insured for as little as $10 for life insurance. And it starts from there. So for all of you students who are listening right now who may think that you can't afford it, or those of you who are in relationships where you're thinking, oh, well, I've got so much credit card debt, etc., I just can't afford it. You can't really afford not to. It's really, really imperative to get insured and be able to take care of yourself. What do you think, Desiree?
Oh, absolutely. I think we mentioned this before going to break, is how accessible insurance can be. And it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. Of course, you can get Cadillac type of plans that, you know, you're insured up to the nines and a good policy that'll last you forever. But at the same time, you can just cover yourself for what you need, especially for the short term, for, you know, as little as, you know, $7 or $8 a month. So I think, like you said, you can't afford not to, especially if something were to happen. That's when you're going to really be kicking yourself. And, you know, hindsight is 20/20. But unfortunately, you can't go back and change your past. So plan for your future now.
That's true. As much as we'd like to change our past sometimes, all we can really change is our perception of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And when the younger you are and the earlier you start planning, more responsible you are, the better off you're going to be in every aspect of your finances for the future. Even, you know, in terms of investing, everybody is probably well aware of, you know, how compound interest works. And the longer you have to invest, the less you really need to invest, because your money is just going to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. It's the same thing when it comes to insurance. You know, you can get in for really cheap because you did it when you were young and you were smart. And you know, people in their 50s or 60s now that want to get life insurance, they can't, because that's when you are going to be looking at, you know, a couple hundred dollars a month for a good, decent policy. So I think that's why, you know, for anybody under 40 and especially under 30, it's, you know, get it now. You'll be saving yourself thousands of dollars in the future.
And I think in relation to that, that's really important in terms of compounding. So in terms of your relationship, what you invest into it as well is really important. So having that communication early on in your relationship to figure out what your needs are, and especially if you're moving towards a future with somebody, it's absolutely imperative. And for those of you who are in relationships, not just to let one partner actually be real important and taking care of the finances, where you say, oh, well, they're really good at money, so I'm going to let them take care of it. You never ever know what happens, so it's important for both people to look at it.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many stories I've heard of, you know, somebody being kind of in the dark when their partner passes away. And, you know, for the majority of these cases, it is women who, you know, were in the dark and their husband passed away, and now they just have no idea. And I mentioned it on another radio show that I was on, that the average age of widowhood for women in Canada is 56.
So, did you say 56?
Yeah, it's super, super young. It was pretty
wow.
Good. Globe and Mail, and you know, it was shocking to learn that stat, but that's why it's just, you can't afford, like you said earlier, to first of all, to not have your insurance in place, and also not to be informed. And I mean, it doesn't mean you have to sit to be on top of it every day or every month, but just get in the know and empower yourself, because, and I've said it before again, you know, ignorance is not bliss. It can be very, very harmful and very detrimental to your finances if you just, you know, kind of turn your head and have a blind eye at your situation.
That's so, yeah, I agree. Is there, if you could wave a magic wand and change things in school, like in terms of what people think about insurance, so say 20 years from now, people have a different perception of it, what would you like to do?
I guess, I mean, for schooling, I just think that it would be relevant for, you know, as young as possible to start teaching kids and people just about how money works, how your finances work, the different components of a financial plan, and how important the insurance element is. And, you know, unfortunately, there's just so much negative connotation comes with insurance, because obviously, you know, insurance is related to ICBC, and insurance is usually related to, you know, greedy people or greedy companies, and it's hard to get paid with your insurance, and so on and so on and so on. And there's a lot of negative connotations associated with it. So I would hope that people would, you know, start to become more educated, understand the importance and how it really, you know, it can save people's financial well-being. The insurance first started out, there's two stories. There's a ship story and there's a farmer story. So the ship story was, you know, sailors would go out, you know, all the time, say 20 sailors at a time would go out, and then all of a sudden, you know, every so often one of them wouldn't come back. And so what would happen to that family? Well, you know, all the other sailors, they would pool their money. So in the case where, you know, one of them didn't come back, they had money to provide to that person's family. And the same thing, and the other story was with the farmers. You know, the farmers all pooled their money. So if, you know, with one year there was a bad crop with, you know, one of the farmers, they would all have this pool of money to pay out to the one unfortunate guy who had to undergo that. So, you know, that's, insurance is a positive thing. It's a pooled money, so you get pennies on the dollar of coverage. So when something bad, you know, unfortunate happens to you, you can receive a lump sum money or the financial support to continue with your lifestyle to help you through a bad time. So, yeah, if I could wave my magic wand, I would, you know, have people think of it as more on a positive light and be educated about it and the benefits of being properly insured.
I think it's really interesting how you mentioned about the sailors getting together. And every time there's a story in, say, the province, the Vancouver Sun, in regards to a family whose house is burnt down, where you hear people setting up an account, say, at Van City to make donations. I've worked at TV stations doing reception, and usually when those stories air, people call in out of the goodness of their heart, and they want to give, they want to get involved. And I think it's interesting, because if I think of it, that the root of that is charity, and we need to start, charity needs to start at home first. We need to take care of you. And by making sure you're insured, you're taking care of yourself first and foremost, so then that way others don't have to necessarily.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, I think when if something bad happens, the last thing you want to do is be having to fundraise or to look for financial support from friends or family and strangers. So I think everybody needs to take that responsibility up upon themselves to make sure they have the proper amount of coverage in place and paying towards this pool of money so that when, you know, whoever is affected has that pool to draw from because they paid their insurance. The last thing that I wanted to say, too, is that I think that the negative connotation also just comes from because there's so much insurance everywhere, right? You buy a new TV and you get sold on the insurance. You buy a cell phone and you get sold on the insurance. You know, it's kind of like, where does it end? And you're paying out all this money for an intangible element where hopefully, you know, you're never going to see. So what we tell our clients is to evaluate their insurance needs on two levels. One is the financial impact of something happening, and two, the percentage or the rate at which something might happen. So, for example, I always use my cell phone because I do have insurance on my phone, and the question number two is what's the frequency of the event happening, or what's the risk of the event happening? And for me, the risk of me losing my cell phone is very high. I've already lost one in the last year, so I have insurance in place because I feel that I'm at a pretty high risk of the event happening. Mm-hmm. And the second element is the financial impact. You know, it's not that high. If I lose my cell phone, I think it cost me $400 last time I lost it, which that's pretty significant. Mm-hmm. So for a nominal fee, $5 a month, I have the insurance in place so that, if I did lose my phone, which I have a high risk of happening, I'm not going to have to forego that couple hundred dollars it's going to cost me. So that's kind of the way you can evaluate your insurance purchases is what's the likelihood of this event happening? And we talked about critical illness insurance. So the likelihood of getting sick is quite high. You know, it's over 50% chance that you have, and what's the financial impact? Well, if you get sick and you can't work for a year, that's a huge financial impact. So, that's a reasonable way to evaluate where you're going to spend your dollars on what types of insurance coverages do you really need.
I wish to God I had insured my phone, but that's a whole other story and another show topic.
Yeah, but that's the thing, right? Like, first of all, you probably didn't know that you could, which I think.
No, I didn't actually. As I'm listening, I'm like, oh, wow, I had no idea you could do that.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm with a provider that has that option. So, there's so much out there, and it's just getting educated on what's available and what is important. I mean, on your phone, maybe you're gonna deal with it. But when if it's a bigger financial impact, you're gonna you don't want to have to deal with that. You want to make sure you have the coverage in place for sure.
If people want to get a hold of you to check their insurance, getting that yearly or every 6 month checkup, or they're looking at because they've got a partner and they want to sit down and connect with you, because I know you also do group plans as well. What's the best way to connect with you?
Well, I guess the best way to connect is to all my contact information is on our website.
What's your website?
And the stories about myself, my partner, our blogs on there, all the different information about all the different products that we do provide and the services. So as you mentioned, my company is 360 Financial Group, so it's spelled in letters, and our website is www.360 in letters, so THREESISTY and then FG for financialgroup.ca. So everything that they need, they can find on that site. And they can either email me or call me or text me or Twitter me or whatever, Facebook me, however anybody, whatever social media mechanism anybody wants to use to contact me. I'm pretty, not sure what the word is, but I'm up to date on all on LinkedIn, on all that stuff. So pretty easy to find me.
Which is awesome, and I think it's really important as well because you're also constantly educating yourself as well. You were mentioning you were in the seminar for the last day or so, just updating and just discovering more education and things that are important as the industry changes and evolves because our world's evolving around us.
Yeah, and our job is to be the professional representative for our industry to our clients. Mm-hmm. So the reason why you work with a professional is so that you don't have to spend as much time, you know, researching all the different insurance products and how they work and the different policies and contracts. And so that's our job. And yeah, every once in a while we have our continuing education days. And my partner and I just spent, two full days at a seminar downtown, getting all the newest information from all the different insurance companies that we work with and updates from the industry and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, that's our responsibility, is to make sure we're on the up and up with the information so that we're educated, so that we can provide, you know, pass on that education to our clients. And I think that's our biggest philosophy, is education. So we just want people to be in the know and to be empowered, because the last thing we want to hear from somebody that is going through, you know, a tragedy or some misfortune is the words, "I didn't know about that," or "I wish I had known about that." I think that to
like me
over,
with the phone, you know, so I should have talked to you earlier, even though I know that would be with my provider. I should be having that conversation, but
yeah, it's, you know, it's the worst. You know, never want to hear somebody, "Oh, I wish I had known that." It's like, "Oh, I didn't get to you fast enough," or you know, it can change somebody's life. You know, a payment of $50,000 or $10,000 or $500,000 can dramatically change someone's life, and the last thing you want to hear is, "I didn't know about that." So.
No, that's true. I know from the volunteer stuff I do in the downtown east side, I think I was telling you that I actually have a woman who came in with a shopping cart, and I had no idea that she was a school teacher with three kids up north, and ended up being diagnosed with cancer and didn't take care of and take a look at critical illness insurance or anything like that. And when she had breast cancer, ended up getting sick and ended up homeless.
Yeah,
kids in foster care. And it's scary because most people are two paychecks away. And God forbid something does happen in your family. It's so important to make sure you take care of yourself and the people around you so you don't become a burden to other people, like especially your loved ones. That you're able to take care of you too so you can get better and heal yourself.
Yeah, and that they see that kind of story just breaks my heart, because it's so preventable.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Well, honey, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on, and I've learned a lot from this conversation as well, which has been great.
Yeah, well, thank you. Always a pleasure speaking with you, Caroline.
Thank you.
We will talk soon. And once again, I'll let everybody know my website is 360fg.ca.
Thank you very much. Up next is Hans von Claus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. He'll be guiding you through the wee hours with his ambient music and his super hot voice. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Now, the electric prunes for Fox, bringing you the exciting new sound of the